Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. This morning, if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Put a finger there. And then, how many got more than one finger? All right, good deal. Just checking. And go to Mark chapter 5. So two fingers, one in Luke 21, one in Mark chapter 5. Today I want to start a series called Desperate. Desperate. Now, desperate is defined as having little or no hope. It's having a crisis or an urgency, an urgent need, or an urgent desire. It's a really serious situation. If we decided to take the time today to go around and to ask, have you ever found yourself in what you would consider to be a desperate situation? I'm sure that probably most of us would say, yes, I have found myself to have experienced desperate times. And I'm sure that we'd all agree as well that being desperate isn't fun. Being desperate, it's not cool. It's uncomfortable. It's usually not pleasant at all. It's a tough place to be in. And so in Luke chapter 21, Jesus is talking about desperate times. He says they're going to come a day when we'll hear of wars and threatenings of wars. And there's going to be earthquakes and famines and pestilence in all kinds of different places. And Christians will be persecuted and even put to death at rates that have never been seen before. He said even families will fight against each other. And they'll even betray one another. That sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? And so we're living, without question, in troubling times, even to the point to where we probably would say they are desperate times. But Jesus makes this strong declaration as he's going down through, and he's telling him all of these things that's going to happen and the signs that we need to look for. And he says in Luke chapter 21 and verse 18, here's a bold statement that he says. He says, but not a hair of your head, he's talking there again, of his children will perish. Imagine that, would you? He said, by standing firm, verse 19, you will gain true life. Now, how do we stand firm? I'm sure you've heard of the phrase, desperate times require desperate actions. You ever heard that? Yeah, desperate times require desperate actions. And so we get that and we understand what that means. But I think that kind of sums it up, but not necessarily in the context of desperation. Because desperation is no hope. It's no help, it would seem. It's like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And that is far from God's children. Amen. We are without question not hopeless. Nor are we without help, for we have the greatest help. He is on our side. Can you say amen? The Bible says that the greater one is inside of us. And no one can stand against us if he is for us. Why? Not because we're anything, but I'm telling you what, nothing can stand against God or his word. And so I want to be on the for side. How about you? Yeah, I want him for me, especially in the times that we live in. And so we're not necessarily reacting out of desperation, but we're responding out of obedience. There's a big difference between reacting and responding. And so as we're going through life, even though we're living in desperate times, we're not operating out of desperation because we are operating out of a place of victory. In Christ, we win, period. It doesn't mean that life is not difficult at times or we face hard times. It doesn't mean that in any way, shape, or form. But what it does mean is that we are not helpless, we are not hopeless, but God is for us. Amen. And so we're not reacting out of this place of desperation. We're simply walking out the victory in Christ. We're standing firm. Amen. We're standing firm. So in Mark, we see this story that I want to go through today that I want to look at. And Mark chapter 5, Jesus, he's on his way to a synagogue ruler's home named Jairus, and his daughter is sick. And so he has come to Jesus and he's asked him, would you come to my home and would you pray for my daughter because she's very, very sick. And so on the way to his house, the crowd was great, as oftentimes when he was healing and when he was teaching, the Bible says that literally thousands would come. And so this was no unusual event at this particular portion of Jesus' life and ministry. And so there was a lot of people there. There was a lot of onlookers there, if you will. And so this great crowd was following him. And in that crowd that day, the Bible says in verse 25, there was a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Now, here in the Bible, we're introduced to this gal who the Bible doesn't even give us her name, but what it does tell us is about her circumstances. I mean, imagine if you can, bleeding for 12 years, spending everything that you have, all of your earnings, going to doctors and going through tests and going through procedures and all of those things and the mental anguish and the stress of not being well. Imagine all of that and you're broke on top of it, not to mention you're not getting any better, but you're actually getting worse. Without question, this was a very desperate woman in a very desperate situation. And so the Bible says in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus. I'm not exactly sure what she may have heard, but I kind of suppose that she may have heard that he was a carpenter from Nazareth. She may have even heard that his parents' name was Joseph and Mary. You know, there might have even come a time when she heard that he claimed to be the Messiah. But I know this for a fact, is that she heard he was healing the sick. I guarantee she heard that he was healing all manner of sickness and disease. And you know what happened? That sparked something inside of her. When she heard about the answer, this woman desperately needed a healing, and all of a sudden we see she became determined. In the times that we live in, we need to be determined. The Bible says she came up behind him, talking about Jesus, in the crowd, and touched his cloak because she thought, if I could just touch his garment, I will be healed. What we have to remember is that there again, this is no small crowd, and they were pressing into Jesus. And so she literally had to push her way through just to get to him, let alone to be able to touch his garment. But you see, desperate times require determined people. In Maine, there's this place called Bar Island. And when the tide is out, you can walk across on this sandbar to this island, and you can spend the day and explore there. It's beautiful. The scenery is gorgeous. I mean, it's just, there's nothing like it. And you can have a picnic and so on. And so one day Jill had decided that her and Kelly was going to go to Bar Island. We worked just a few miles from there during the summer. And so she thought, you know, we're going to go down there and we're going to have some fun on Bar Island. Jill loves to hike and to picnic and all those outdoorsy kinds of things. And so she said, let's go. So her and Kelly took off. They went down. And it was a great time. And it was a wonderful day. And they had a wonderful time. But guess what? The day kind of got away from them. You ever been there before? You know, look all of a sudden, oh my word, look at the time. You know, look at the time. That happens at work, and when you're having a good time, oh my word, is it ever going to end, you know, kind of deal. Yeah, but they were having a great time, and so time just kind of got away from them. And so what they didn't realize was while they were having fun, the tide had already started to come back in. You know, that's not necessarily a problem if you got a boat. Or you got 12 hours to wait overnight while the tide goes back out. Well, Jill had no phone. She had no boat and no desire to be stranded on that island. But I'll tell you what she did have. She had a determination to keep her daughter safe. So standing on the bank of that island, and literally on the brink of desperation, she had determined in her heart that no matter what, her and her daughter was going to get to the other side. That no matter what was going to happen, regardless, she was going to make it. So she started her trek literally in waist-high ocean water and ocean critters, neither of which she's a fan of, carrying Kelly on her hip. But you know what happened? They made it. You see, in the day that we're living in the times that we're living in, we need determination like no other time in history to stay close to Jesus. One of the signs of the times that we live in today is a turning away. That their love will grow cold. Have you ever known somebody whose love has grown cold? They used to be on fire, all ready to go. You was the best thing since sliced bread. Next thing you know, they forgot your number. Oh, I thought you maybe changed your number. You know, they don't even know where you live anymore. Love growing cold. But hear me when I say this morning, I want you to understand that one of your greatest weapons is a no matter what attitude. Non-negotiables that regardless of what comes your way, you're going to stick with Jesus. Joshua, he said it like this, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Paul said, forgetting the past, I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high call of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the garden just before he was to be crucified, Father, if there's any way we could do something else, then so be it. But nevertheless, thy will be done. No matter what, I'm sticking by the stuff. I'm glad that Jesus did. How about you? On that day, in spite of the crowd, this desperate woman determined in her heart to get to Jesus. And here's why. She thought, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. Wow. In her desperation, she also became deliberate. In the crowd that day, you know, there was a lot of people. You ever thought about it? More than likely, there very well could have been doctors that she hadn't seen yet. And her family was saying, you know, you ought to go see this one, or you ought to go see that one. They very well could have been in that crowd that day. There were rulers in the synagogues, big shots in the church. She could have gone to one of them. Even the disciples were in the crowd that day. And I'm not saying that there's anything bad about any of them. I'm just saying that when she heard the answer was there, when she heard that Jesus was there, that focused her to the point to where she deliberately passed by everyone else and went straight to him. Sometimes out of desperation, we can have a try anything attitude. You ever been there before? Where whatever's, hey, if it's, yeah, no problem at all. The latest, greatest vitamin. If it'll fix, if it'll make me 5 inches taller, I'll try it. There's so many things that we can try in the moment, in the times when we're desperate or out of desperation. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't pursue options. But what I am saying is that there really is an answer for your situation. There's an answer for your neighbor's situation. There's an answer for your coworker's situation. And believe it or not, there's an answer for this world that we live in. And that answer is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll find that the more you know the Word and the closer you get to Jesus, the more determined you'll be to be deliberate in your giving, more deliberate in your speaking, in the friends that you hang out with, in your goals. And I believe it's because you get a deeper understanding of the fact that God deliberately created you. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. But God has a purpose for you. And it's a great purpose. It's a time where you can shine bright in the midst of these desperate times. And so while there's all kinds of worthwhile things that you can give and sow into, and there's all kinds of words that you can say throughout your day, and then there's all kinds of friends that you can socialize with, and all kinds of goals that you can strive for, and all those things are okay, but somehow, somewhere, something inside of you rises up, and you just want to make sure that you stay close to Jesus because you found Him to be the real answer. And so you begin to deliberately focus on Him and safeguard your relationship with Him and your calling. It's an automatic thing. I know it may sound foreign to some, but desperate times demand deliberate actions. As this gal pressed through the crowd that day, and she touched the hem of His garments. Look at what the Bible says, verse 29. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Wow. Amazing. I'm sure she thought, wow, it's over. Praise God, I'm healed. And you think it'd be a time to celebrate, but look at what happened. At once, Jesus realized power had gone out from Him. And so He turned around in the crowd and He asked, "Who touched me?" Oh, boy. There again, we know the story. Imagine real time. Oh, boy. I mean, today we wouldn't really think much of a woman pressing through a crowd. But here's the problem. Back then, she was considered unclean. And whatever she touched was unclean. And if she didn't follow the law, she could be in deep trouble. So when Jesus stops everything in this big crowd, and He says, "Who touched me?" Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's no small matter, and she knew it. But here's the thing, see, she was desperate. So Jesus turns around in the crowd. He says, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples, they said, "Well, you see the people all around you, and they're pressing against you, and yet you're asking, who touched you? Oh, maybe He'll just forget about it. Oh, maybe this is my chance again. Maybe He'll just keep walking and forget all about it." Maybe at this time she's thinking she's off the hook and she kind of breathes a sigh of relief. But the Bible says in verse 32, nope, Jesus keeps looking around. Keeps asking, "Who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me?" At this point, she knew it's over. She knew she had to fess up. So check this out. Here's what she did. The woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at His feet and, trembling with fear, told Him the truth. What guts that gal had to literally risk everything in front of everybody just to get to Jesus. But here's the deal. If she was going to Jesus, she was going to her answer. So she had to get drastic. She had to be drastic. You see, drastic is radical. It's extreme. It's kind of that no matter what attitude. It's all in. We talked about that last year, about being all in. About just jumping in and going for it. You know, there's going to be times in our lives where the casual approach doesn't work. Where, well, we'll just see. It'll all just work out. And it doesn't. It just gets worse. And it gets worse. And it gets worse. Sometimes you have to be as drastic as your situation is to get the answer. Sometimes you have to say no to yourself and get up and go when you don't want to because you know things are happening. You know the bills are coming in. You know there's so many things that are dependent on you. And when you just would rather crawl in a corner and eat bonbons all day and watch Netflix or Lifetime or whatever it is you like to watch, you know you can't. You got to go in. You got to get after it. You got to get up. You got to get going. But then there's days when you got to take it a whole step further and you got to get drastic. I mean, you got to get after it big time. There again, what are we talking about? To some may call it crazy. And I'm not talking about flailing around there again in desperation, hoping that maybe something might work. All I'm talking about today is walking by faith. This gal was walking by faith, and it took drastic measures to get there. People would think that she was crazy, but all she was doing was operating in faith. She had an assurance that regardless of what would happen, regardless of where I'm headed, I know I'm going to the answer and I know He's going to help me. Sometimes we need to walk that way. We have to walk by faith, knowing that regardless of what God may ask you to do, if you'll just step out, even if the world calls it crazy, it'll be okay because God is with you. Trust me when I say, the world that you live in, meaning your family, your co-workers, your neighbors, where you shop, where you buy your gas, where you get all of those things that you get in your daily life, those people are counting on you and they're counting on me to be living by faith. They may not verbalize it so many times. They may not be telling you all of this, but trust me when I say they are counting on you to live by faith. As difficult sometimes as it may be, they're counting on you not to be intimidated by the crowd. They're counting on you to not even let your own circumstances dictate as to whether you're going to shine the light of Christ today in their life. It doesn't matter. They're begging you, even if they don't say it, they're begging you not to walk by them like everyone else does and not to be afraid to get down into the ditch where it's sticky and where it's messy and where life just has beaten us up. I mean, they just want you to get down in there, into their desperation and help. Desperate times require desperate actions. Let me challenge you today as you walk out your life. Remember that you need to be a determined person. You need to be in this day determined to stand with God and to move forward. You need to be deliberate in your actions. Don't just flail around and say, well, we'll see, or whatever, or maybe. No, you get on your knees and you pray and you ask God for definite direction and you operate in the gifts that He gives to you and in the faith that He's given to you and you meet the needs. And sometimes it's going to take a drastic measure. People look at you and say that you're crazy if you do that. You're crazy if you do this. You're crazy. You better watch out. But you know in your heart that God is calling you into this area. And so I would encourage you to step out in faith and trust God. Be the one that makes the difference. Amen.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.